Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. Now, whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to the Bottled Business Sense Show. I'm Rick Muscoso, and join us today with our co-host, Mr. Bill Bernard, a business attorney. Today, we're going to speak about letters of intent and why are they and what are they and how do they operate. So, Bill, why don't you take it away and let's dive in.
Yeah, you know, this is real important in the contractual sense. As I said before, Rick, everything I do is based on contracts. The underlying foundation of my practice is based on contracts, whether it's employment law, dealing with protecting employers and employees, whether it's estate planning or whether it's forming a business entity. Everything involves a contract. So sometimes contracts are violated or they're breached, as we say in the legal world. And when they're breached, you have to know if, in fact, there is a contract breached in the first place. So many people, when they buy things, and in this case, we'll talk about a purchase and sale agreement of a business, obviously, sometimes you do what is called a letter of intent. It's an agreement to agree. It's not a formal contract. Most oftentimes, it's not intended to be. It is not legally enforceable, and it's basically a summary of the major terms of the contract. And you ask, why do people do a letter of intent? Well, if the parties are not able to reach an agreement on the material terms of a contract, a purchase and sale in this case, then why go through the expense of hiring a lawyer and having a long contract drawn up if they can't agree on the terms to begin with? So a lot of times they'll do a letter of intent saying, here's what we think we want to do, and we will agree to put this in a formal contract later on down the road. What's the big problem, however, that you run into?
Well, I think there's a problem a lot of times with misinterpretation of what that letter intent means.
Well, if you have a letter of intent that in fact has all of the material terms of a contract in it, offer, acceptance, consideration, then you have a contract, no matter what it's called. I don't care if you call it a letter of intent or Bill's blue bathroom ceiling. It's going to be a contract if it has the appropriate terms. So problems arise when letters of intent, or LOIs as we call them, present to forget about needing a formal contract down the road. And sometimes that can be as short as a one-page document. I just finished a lawsuit representing clients who had a letter of intent to sell real property. The court interpreted the letter of intent as a contract. The opposing party breached the contract. We had to sue in order to enforce the letter of intent, said big bold print on top, letter of intent. Of course, it was done by my clients online. I say, don't do that sort of thing. Get a lawyer. But they did it, but they were astute enough, even though they mislabeled it, to have all of the material terms present to where there was no need for a formal contract down the road. The letter of intent was in and of itself a formal contract, which could be enforced in a court of law. So when a letter of intent acknowledges that an agreement has been reached on the material terms, a court may enforce it as a contract, even though some less important terms that are not material are provided later on down the road. So you not only can have a letter of intent that has a contract because it has all of the material terms, but you can have a letter of intent that turns out to be a contract that has all of the material terms with some of the non-material terms being provided later on at a different date after the contract or letter of intent is signed. So A court recently ruled on this, and it said whether a writing constitutes a final agreement or merely an agreement to make an agreement, i.e. a letter of intent, depends primarily on the intention of the parties. The objective intent is evidenced by words of the agreement. What does that mean? That means what I just said earlier, that the objective intent of the parties, as evidenced by the words in the contract, the material terms, will determine whether it is in fact a contract or whether it is a letter of intent, merely an agreement to agree down the line and enter a formal contract at some later date. Real important stuff, Rick, real important stuff. What a contract must have, or a letter of intent, should it have, what these terms I'm about to recite, if a letter of intent has these, or if a contract that's called a contract has these, it's typically a contract. LOI is going to become a contract. Material terms of a contract, if it has the identification of the property involved or the subject matter of the sale. Two, the names of the buyers and sellers. Three, the price. Four, the terms of payment. Five, the signature by both parties. So if it has those things, it's going to be an LOI. Why? Because those things will encompass offer, acceptance, consideration, i.e. the material terms of what's to be contracted for.
It'll be an LOI or a contract?
The LOI will become a contract.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to say. That's the distinction. The LOI will become a contract if it has those material terms present. It will no longer be an LOI. It will no longer be something that says we're going to contract for something at a later date, which is what a letter of intent is intended to be. It will rather become a contract than to enter into.
So in this case, maybe just clarify this. Where is the mistake being made in this process where the LOI turns into a contract? I mean, I think it's pretty clear what you said, but for the user who's doing it, or the person that's forming the LOI, where does that mistake made?
The mistake is made when they have the material terms of a contract in the LOI that encompasses an offer, an acceptance, and a consideration, instead of just the basic general ideas that they want to present in a formal contract down the road. Remember what I said, that you're doing them. Why? Because you're wanting to present some ideas of what might be encompassed in a typical LOI, maybe somewhere between 100,000 and 500,000. Not sure yet. Here's the location of the property. Would you be interested? Yeah, I would be interested in buying this property about a year down the road at a price between blah, 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 and blah, $1,000. And that's the big difference. How do you get around this? If you really want to get around it, put a disclaimer at the end of the letter of intent that says the parties acknowledge this is a non-binding letter of intent, and it does not address all of the essential issues and material terms contemplated down the road by the parties. Bingo. You have a disclaimer in there. You're typically good to go. But that's why it's so important to consult a lawyer with these letters of intent, because they can, in fact, become contracts when perhaps.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important.
That's right. Yeah, it can be confusing. And I think it sounds like the confusion all starts when somebody tries and does this online. And obviously, you can run into this very specific problem with that not being your final intent. That's why you should retain somebody like Bill, who's very well-versed and very well-experienced in business law and these types of matters. So, Bill, why don't you share any closing thoughts and then best way to get a hold of you?
So you can reach me at wfblegalconsulting.com. I have several sister websites, but you can also reach me at 949 area code 622. Can you believe the number is escaping me? 698-6222, 698-6222, and 413-6535, both 949 area codes. Or you can fill in a form to ask to contact me on my website. Click on it, and it'll get to me. We're found all over the internet on the Bottle Business Sense Show, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you name it, we're there. Give us a look-see. This is all free advice. You can't beat something that's free, especially when it's in the legal world, right? I don't profess to solve all your problems. I need to know the particular facts of your situation. So this is not legal advice on this show, but rather call your lawyer or whoever you're going to retain as your lawyer and have them on board, him or her, for all future transactions. Okay?